There used to be a TV show called Fear Factor. The producers of that show would put you in a fearful situation to help you overcome your fear. Do God put you in a fearful situation to help you overcome your fear? Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life, sent down from the Lord.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring you a series of messages out of the book of Mark. So get close to your radio and listen now as we take a look in the book.
Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. Other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to talk about going through a storm. Going through a storm. High five somebody and tell them, pastor, gonna talk about going through a storm. Going through a storm. Are you with me, Bible Way? Going through a storm. There used to be a show that used to come on television by the name of Fear Factor. It was a show, a game show, similar to the game show Survivor. And in order to win that show, you had to overcome your fears. They may have you to eat some chocolate-covered bugs to help you face and overcome your fears. You may have to walk across a tightrope over a pit or a canyon to try to help you overcome your fears. You may even have to do some skydiving, jump out of a plane or something, to help you overcome your fears. I'll never forget one program they had you to lay down in this box, and then they dumped a bucket of snakes in there on you. and you just had to lay still.
Lord have mercy. I don't know how that's helping you overcome your fears. But the producers of that show would put you in all kinds of fearful situations to help you overcome your fears. In the same way, the producer of life, God Almighty, will orchestrate fearful situations and put you in fearful situations in order to help you face and overcome your fears. As a matter of fact, that's what our lesson is all about. We see that God had orchestrated a situation and put these disciples right in the middle of a storm to help them overcome their fears. See, we need to ask the question, why do God send storms anyway into our lives? A lot of people will tell you the reason that you're going through a storm is because you are out of the will of God. And so God is sending that storm in your life as a tool of judgment, all because you are out of the will of God. And we see that now. We do see that. There is some biblical justification for that, because we see that in the case of Jonah. How Jonah had gotten out of the will of God, and because he had gotten out of the will of God, God sent a storm after Jonah. Because how many of you know you can run, but you can't hide from Almighty God? But be careful. Just because you see a person going through a storm don't mean that God is judging them. It don't mean that they done got out of the will of God. Most of the time when you see a person going through a storm, they could be right in the center of God's will, and God still sent a storm in their life. Oh, matter of fact, that was the case right here in our text. They was in the middle of the storm because God had sent them to get in the boat to go on over to the other side. They was obeying Jesus. It wasn't that they disobeyed him and they found themselves in the sun. They was obeying the Lord and they found themselves in the middle of a storm. See, you can obey the Lord and still find yourself in the middle of a storm. Some of us and some of you are going through a storm right this morning, not because you are out of the will of God. No, you are right in the center of God's will. And you're going through a storm, all because you don't obey the Lord. So then, if you obey the Lord, why do God send a storm in your life? God often sends a storm in your life in order to test your faith. See, a lot of times we think that we are at a certain point in our Christian life. Some of us think that we done arrived at a certain point in our Christian life. So God sends storms in our life to let us know you ain't made it yet. See, most people have a higher opinion of themselves than they ought to have. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You done heard of that old Negro spiritual. It's not my mama. It's not my sister. It's not my brother. It's not my daddy. But it's me, oh, Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. Now, that's what we sang with our lips. But our attitude often reverses the song.
And see, we get into the blame game, my life will be a whole lot better, Lord, because it's my mama, it's my daddy, it's my sister, it's my brother. But it ain't me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. It's them. My life would be a whole lot better if it hadn't been for them. Them people, them. Lord have mercy. And so God has to bring a storm in our life to help us to see who we really are and where we really at in our Christian life. See, many Christians think that they know Jesus, but we just really know about Jesus, but we really don't know Jesus. And there's a big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. See, most of us think because we can quote various Bible verses and know various Bible stories like Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrew children in the fire and David and Goliath and Abraham and Isaac, we think that we know God. No, no. Knowing about God ain't the same thing as knowing God. These disciples, they had watched Jesus cast out demons, heal the sick, open up the eyes of the blind, make the lame walk, and they still didn't know who Jesus was. The Bible says right at the end of this text, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey? They didn't know who Jesus really was. And so God has to send storms in our life to help you understand who you are and to know who God really is. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And so he sends storms into your life. And such was the case here. You know, when you look at this lesson here, the Bible lets us know this was the same day that Jesus had been teaching earlier those parables of the sower and the seed. We looked at that parable last week. And you can recall how Jesus had gotten ran out of the synagogue, and now he was there by the seaside, and there were so many people that he had to get in a boat, remember? And he got in that boat and began to use that boat as a pulpit. See, if they don't want Jesus on the inside of the church, then Jesus just go right on to the outside. But you won't be able to stop Jesus' mission in life. And so Jesus, he sat there in the boat and he was teaching. And after he finished teaching, he tells the disciples, now let's go on over to the other side. Now, I'm not sure. Did Jesus finish teaching and then go home and then come back down to the Sea of Galilee and get in the boat and then say, let's go to the other side? Or did Jesus just finish teaching and say, let's go on over to the other side? Because when he interpreted the parable of the sower, the Bible says he'd done that inside the house. So I don't know exactly when he went to the house. Did he go to the house and then they had the storm, or did they go in the storm and then later on the way back, they came to the house and then he interpreted the parable? So I really don't know, but I do know that he was in the boat and he says, let's go on over to the other side. And the Bible says, as they were sailing on over to the other side, the Bible says that there was a great storm. That word great, it was a mega storm arose. And the Bible says that the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling up. It done got full. Now, we got a problem, ladies and gentlemen. It's one thing for the boat to be in the water. But when water start getting in the boat, oh, we got a problem now. Oh, it's one thing for you to be in your boat out there on the sea, but when that water that's in the sea start getting in your boat, now we got a problem, ladies and gentlemen. But let me tell you something. You don't have to be afraid. Even though you are in a fearful situation, you don't have to Be afraid. Matter of fact, these disciples didn't have to be afraid. Even though we see them afraid, they didn't have to be afraid. And you don't have to be afraid, even though it's a fearful situation. Can I give you four reasons why you don't have to be afraid, even in the midst of a storm? Can I give you four reasons this morning? Are y'all going to go with me? I'm going to have to go by myself. The first reason you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to be afraid when you trust in his promises. You don't have to be afraid when you trust in his promises. Jesus gave them a promise. What was the promise? Jesus says, let us pass over or cross over to the other side. He was promising them that we're going to make it to the other side. But because they were so focused on the problem rather than focus on the promises, they found themselves in fear. You didn't catch that. I said the reason that they were so fearful is they focused on the problem rather than focusing on the promise. Oh, let me tell you, whenever you are fearful, it's because your focus is wrong. Lord, have mercy. You done lost focus. They was focusing on the problem rather than focusing on the promise. He gave them a promise. The promise was, let us go to the other side. When Jesus said, let us, he's saying all the disciples that's in this boat, and the Bible says there were some other little boats that's out there as well. Everybody that's following Jesus, Jesus says, we're going to go on over to the other side. Listen, when God promised you that you're going to go over, then you're not going to go under. But you got to stay focused on the promise. Listen, whatever God promised you, then believe it. Why is that? Because, see, there's two things God cannot do. The first thing God cannot do, God cannot change. He can't go from being a good God to being a bad God. Let me tell you something. If God was a good God yesterday, God is going to be a good God today. And if he's a good God today, he's going to be a good God tomorrow. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what all changes is taking place. Your life could be falling apart even though things don't change. God hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the second thing God can't do, he can't lie. So whatever God said he's going to do, he's going to do it. Whatever he done promised, he's able to perform. Whatever he said he's going to do, then just believe him. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If he truly your shepherd, then you don't have to want. Just believe it. The Bible says, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, it says, then these other things will just be added unto you. If he promised you that, then just believe it. He said, all things work together for the good, for those who love the Lord and for those that are called according to his purpose. Don't you love the Lord? Well, he's making it all work together for your good. Somehow, some way, he'll take the bitter along with the sweet and put it together and make it work out for your good. If he said it and promised you, then just believe it. Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. if he promised you that, then just believe it. Whatever he promised you, believe that he's going to do it. You don't have to be afraid when you trust in his promises. Lord, have mercy. Number two, you don't have to be afraid when you trust in his presence. Did you hear what I said? You don't have to be afraid when you trust in his presence. Where was Jesus at that day in that storm? The Bible says he was in the stern of the ship. In other words, he was in the back of the ship. They didn't have to be afraid. Why is that? Because Jesus is in the boat. They didn't have to be afraid because Jesus was right there in the boat. They didn't have to be afraid because Jesus was on board. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to be afraid when you know Jesus is on board in your life. But why was they afraid? They was afraid, again, because they was focusing on their professionalism rather than focusing on his presence. Oh, you didn't catch that. They was focusing on their professionalism rather than focusing on his presence. See, where was Jesus at? He was at the back of the boat. Oh, that let me know something is wrong right there. And see, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you don't need him at the back. You need him. You need him up there in the front. I ain't getting on no airplane, and the pilot is back there in the back of the plane. But when you think you got it, you'll put Jesus at the back because I got this. See, that was those disciples' problem. See, at least four of those disciples, at least four of them, was professional fishermen. Jesus, what was his profession? A carpenter. Go on to sleep, carpenter. We got this. This our territory now. You know, we out here on the sea. You know, we know about these, the sea. We know how to sail in a sailboat. You know, we know how to make it to the other side. So you go on and take you some rest. You've been preaching all day, preacher. We got this. See, Peter, James, and John was professional fishermen. So why call Jesus when you got a professional on board? Why call Jesus when you got a professional like Peter on board? Why call Jesus when you got a professional like Andrew on board? Why call Jesus when you got a professional like John on board? Why call Jesus when you got a professional like James on board? Why call Jesus when you got all these professionals on board? Because sometimes you run into stuff that even professionals can't handle. See, right in the text, it tells us that this was a great storm. This just wasn't a simple storm. See, they was used to navigating in storms, but this, the Bible said, was a great storm. That word great means this was a mega storm. This was a big old storm. This was like a hurricane kind of storm. In other words, they had ran into something that they ain't never encountered before. That's why you need to call on.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.